Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Take your Bibles, if you will, please. Open up to Joshua chapter 24 this morning. Joshua chapter 24. Pastor asked me yesterday what my text was, and I told him it was Joshua. And then I didn't give him the verses that there were. And so then he wanted to know what the verses were, and I said verse 15. And so, and it consisted very simple. One verse that I don't think we should get lost in, but I'm hoping that this morning that we can get something out of this. And let's go ahead and read this, and we'll begin. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." But now, Joshua makes a statement in the latter part of this verse. This is what he says. "But as for me and my house," he said, "we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning, God, that you will give us, Lord, something from your truth of your word that, Lord, we can use in our own life. Lord, may we be able to apply every single verse, every single word that comes from this book. Father, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all to us, Lord. And Lord, may we be able to apply much of this that we see this morning to our lives. Help us, Lord, to leave here to be more like you. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Might I say it is good to get out this way. And I'm actually looking out and seeing sunshine. Now, I was looking at my weather forecast, and it said there was supposed to be snow in Pinedale. What happened to the snow today, brother? I'm not a little bit disappointed. Well, okay. Well, trust me, I've been driving around. I've been looking at all these snow peaks as I've been driving through Wyoming and in many other different areas up in Idaho about a week and a half ago, and I've been seeing snow on the mountaintop, and I come out here, and I thought for sure I'd have to put my mutlucks on or at least my snow boots or something. And but I'm sure that it's coming, and I'm praying that the Lord will allow me to get to Salt Lake City and be able to fly out before you folks have to deal with all that. So, but I will pray for you. Let me say that I will pray for you. Life's choices. That's the name of this message this morning. Life's choices. And I would like to go ahead and look at some things from the Word of God and make some applications this morning that hopefully it'll be profitable for all of us. And might I say, when I get out this way and I get a chance to see Becky and Spencer. Spencer, you never have thanked me for the fact that I brought Becky out here. You know that, don't you? I forgive you for that. I understand that you have somebody by the name of Adriana here at your church. Well, remember, just when she comes back, you tell her I'm sorry that she had to take off and leave me behind. She actually traveled with me when she was about 10 or 12 years old. When I took my very first team to Romania in 1999, she was just a little girl, and her brother and her parents went with us over to Romania, and so it's been a long time. I was kind of hoping that I'd see she's all grown up and has a baby now, and just praise the Lord for all these things. It's good. Why does Joshua make that comment, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord"? I think he was able to see what was going on round about him. And he knew that he had to make a decision on something. Now, might I say, moms and dads that are in here, grandmas, grandpas, I believe it's all of our responsibility to bring our children up, to have them serving in the local church. I believe it's God does not call everyone to be a full-time missionary or full-time pastor. But I believe that God calls every Christian to be a full-time Christian. I believe full-time, serving God, doing what they can to serve Him. And so might I say that you are only as valuable to God as you are available. Now, how can you be valuable to God if you're not available? And I believe that each and every one of us should step up to the plate and say, as Joshua said, as for me, I'm going to serve you, Lord. Whatever that entails, whatever that may involve, because not everyone's going to preach, not everyone's going to sing, not everyone's going to teach, not everyone's going to do a lot of different things, but there are a number of things that you can get involved with. And might I say that I'm sure that this church has a lot of doers that get involved in serving God. So, are you valuable to God when it comes to your availability? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That word choose means to select or to pick. And every single day, each and every one of us that are sitting in here this morning has to choose and has to pick. We have a lot of choices that we make every day. From the time we wake up to the time we go to bed at night, we make countless choices in our life. And every choice that we make bears a consequence. Every choice. And so therefore, the older you get, the more choices that you make. And one of the things you can never do as an individual is relive the days that are behind you. Because once they're gone and once they're behind you, they're gone. Now, I know that there's probably many of you that are sitting in here this morning that if you could turn back the pages of time and you could have done certain things over again, might I say that all of us probably in here would say, yes, I would have done this different. No, I would have not made this choice in my life. Yes, I would have gone this direction. No, I would have not done that. You see, all of us make choices, but we cannot relive those choices because once they're gone, they're gone. So this morning, I want to look at four simple points that have to deal with choices that we make in our lives. So this is the title of the message, Life's Choices. And I want to give you four points, four specific things that have to deal with choices that you make in your life. The first point is this. In some areas of your life, you have no choice. You have no choice. Well, that sounds peculiar. Well, first of all, you did not have a choice in your place of birth. You did not have a choice in your time of birth, or your parents, or your race, or who your siblings would be. You see, there's some things in life you just don't have a choice in. So we see that that has to deal with choices in our life. Some areas, there are no choice. Point number two. Some choices that you make in your life are not that important. Now think about that for a moment. Every single day we may make some choices to do certain things, and they're not really that critical. First of all, perhaps maybe where you're going to stop off and eat at. Now I know for a lot of people that one place is sometimes just about as good as another. And you know, if you've traveled with me up and down the Amazon and different places in the central part of Africa that I've been, you know, sometimes one place is just about as good as another if you're hungry. Matter of fact, I look out here in the parking lot, and I can assure you that I don't see all of the same identical kind of vehicles sitting out here in this lot. You know, one of these cars out here will probably get me back to Salt Lake City just as well as another. Now, some of you might be sitting in here this morning thinking, well, you don't know this brother's vehicle over here. You probably wouldn't want to take that vehicle, okay? But might I say, that choice that we're making here, it's just really not that important. Because one vehicle will get you around just about as good as the other. And I'm sure that out here in the West, if you go back far enough, there's probably a lot of fellows will tell you that one buckboard or one other mode of transportation was just about as good as the other. You see, number one, at some areas you have no choice. Number two, there's some choices that each and every one of us make every day. And you know, that's just not really that important. Point number three. Some choices we make in our life are very important. Very important. And this morning I'm going to give you three life-changing choices that each and every individual has to make. Number one, and to me this is the most important choice, is the choice of salvation. Each one of us sitting in here, each one of us have got to make a choice of whether we will either receive and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, or that we will be like the biggest majority of people in the world that will say, no, I'm not interested. Thank you very much. Or as they do in New Zealand, stop, that's enough, thank you, I've had it, that's enough for today. There's a lot of people that will make a choice never to receive Christ as their Savior. And might I say this morning, salvation is the most important choice that you will ever have to make. Because according to the Bible, each and every one of us will have to stand before God, and we will have to give an account for what we have done in this body, whether it's been good or whether it's been bad, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And might I say, everyone has got to make a choice. That's right. Boys and girls, even you that are sitting in here have got to choose whether or not you will receive Jesus as your Savior or whether you will reject him. Another life-changing choice would be the choice of your mate for life. Now, I believe that God created Adam and Eve. And I believe that when he created Adam and Eve, there was a purpose for that. Because he expected man and woman to live their lives out together for the rest of their lives. I believe that's ordained of God. And I do not believe that we can change what man wants to change today. I'm sorry, we live in a country that we have a court system that determines more so of what should be going on in this world today than what the Bible says we should be doing. It's a sad thing in our lives that we are seeing things done today that we would have never thought of 20, 30, 40 years ago. You see, the choice that we make for our lives, and young people, you will be making those choices sooner or later. You need to make sure that you're choosing whom God wants you to have. Because you see, God wants you to have the right mate. Sometimes we get ahead of God sometimes. And sometimes we go beyond where God wants us to go. So we see that salvation is number one. We see that our marriage, our choice of mate for life, is number two. But then another very important choice that we make is our choice of God's will for our life. Every single person has got to choose what God's will is for them. I can no more determine what God's will is for your life than what you can God's will is for my life. And so many times we have a tendency to be telling everybody about what this is what God wants you to do, and this is what God probably has. You ought to be going down this road. I always say I have a hard enough time keeping up with myself. But might I say that we ought to seek out what God has for us, because I believe that God has a perfect will for each and every one of us that's sitting in here. He has a plan. He has a purpose. You just didn't exist in this world for no reason at all. And as a born-again, Bible-believing, Christ-centered individual that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be seeking exactly what God's will is for your life. If you search it long enough, you're going to find it. Young people miss God's will for their life because they're so busy about trying to find out what they want to do. And might I say, young people, sometimes moms and dads are seeking out what they want to do too. Have you ever done something and then afterwards asked God if it was all right with him? Isn't that kind of like how we are? We go ahead and do what we really want to do in our own lives, and then we seek God's approval. Shame on us, because we ought to be seeking his will on a daily basis, living for him. doing what he wants us to do. And now I want to look at the last point. And this message isn't too long. Pastor, I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. But might I say that I want you to get these principles. Number one, in life, there are some choices you just don't have any choice in. Number two, some choices you make are not that important. Number three, there's some choices you make in your life that's ultra, ultra important. And number four, I want to give you the fourth point, is some principles that will help you make right choices. And I just don't want to give you principles of what man thinks. I want to give you principles from what the Word of God says. Because if you live on God's principles, you can't go wrong, can you? Never going to go wrong on living on what God says we should do. And so we want to look at some verses this morning that should help us make right choices. And these are very basic principles that we can live by. If you will, open up to James chapter 4, please, this morning. James chapter 4, and we're just going to look at some verses here. In James chapter 4, in verse 14, this is a verse that should help us make right choices. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." This verse here tells me that life is brief. Life is brief. Now, if you're sitting in here this morning and you're 40, 50, 60, I'm in that 60 mid-range in there. Some of you are 70. Some of you might be 80. Some of you might be 90. But might I say something here? Your life is still brief in the light of all eternity. And the Bible says, according to verse 14, your life is but a vapor. You can see it for a brief period of time. It dissipates and it's like, where did it go? Think back how many generations before you, and think just this morning about you and your family. Think about your family for a moment. Go back to your parents. Go back to your grandparents. I was mentioning a little bit about knowing the dates of my grandparents and when they were born and certain things that they went through. Grandparents, great-grandparents. How many of you really know a lot about your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents? I dare say that any one of us in here could probably tell us a whole lot about those people that paved a lot of way. But you know something? During that time period, if you go back 7, 8 generations ago, according to the Scripture, life is brief. It's here and it's gone. They lived their life. Your parents, they lived their life. You are living your life. Your children are living their lives, and your grandchildren are living their lives. And if you're lucky enough to have great-grandchildren, they're living their lives. And guess what? The Bible says that life is brief. Because our lives are brief, we ought to be making right choices. Because the Bible says we've got to give an account for everything we do. The second thing, look at Proverbs, if you will, please, this morning. Proverbs chapter 27, please. In Proverbs chapter 27, I want to give you the second principle to help you make right choices. The second principle in Proverbs chapter 27 begins with verse 41. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth." This verse tells me, and a good principle to live by, is the fact that life is uncertain. It said we're not supposed to boast of thyself tomorrow because we don't know what the day may bring forth. There's some of us in here today that may not be in here next week this time. Why? Because you do not know what tomorrow brings forth. But we do know who holds tomorrow. I think that should help each and every one of us make right choices because life is uncertain. You might not be here to help your wife or to help your grandparents or to have someone or do something for somebody next week because life is uncertain. There's no guarantee of life down here. My wife and I just spent time with Pastor Jay Sprecher and his wife Pam. Their church has been supporting us for a number of years. And we love the Spreckers. And I know that my wife went through cancer back in 2005. And has been cancer-free now for 11 years. But might I say that going through cancer is one of those things that until it hits home, because, you know, so many times we hear of so-and-so, and oh, we feel so bad about it. You know, every time my wife finds out that she knows of somebody that has just found out that they've got cancer, she remembers exactly how she felt back in the fall of 2005 when the doctor called me and her into his office and said she had cancer. It's quite a blow. You see, life is uncertain. I remember when that happened in 2005. I thought to myself, I just started this ministry in 1998. 7 years later, here we are at the threshold. Things are starting to take off. Things are starting to move. And now all of a sudden, my wife's got cancer. Might I say that my wife is a tremendous aspect and part of this ministry that I have? I would be hard-pressed. I would be in full-time evangelism if I was not doing what I'm doing now. We don't give credit to God because of what he's capable of being able to do. You see, life is uncertain. But we do know who holds tomorrow. And because of that, we have a certainty that we can live with expectation of knowing what God is going to be able to do and will continue to do with or without us. Think about this. If he doesn't have you doing what you need to be doing today and serving him, you know he'll find someone else. I always say God's the best chess player in the world. Don't try to beat him. You'll never outmove the Lord. But he knows your heart. Let's look at a third principle that will help us make right choices. If you'll turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Now, this is where it really begins to hit home. Hebrews 9, verse 27, and this is what it says. And is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment? This principle tells me that death is sure. It's not something that we stand around and have general conversation day in and day out, is it? Death is not something that we like to talk about. Death is not something that we put on high priority list in any of our lives because you know why? We know it's sure. We know it's coming. So why talk about it? But might I say that when I go out and I go soul winning, when I go out and I try to witness to people, I try to let people know that they may be on the preface of the last days on this earth. And if they don't make a decision for Jesus Christ, guess what? Death is going to meet them, and when they meet death, they're going to meet eternity because it is the beginning of something that is unending. You see, death is something that all of us will experience. I always tell people, if you live long enough, you're going to die. But because death is sure, it should help us make right choices. Sometimes we make choices thinking about the immediate or the present, whatever's going on around about us. But we don't look at the long picture that goes on out beyond all that. What happens afterwards? Many times we spend a lot of time preparing ourselves, perhaps for death. I'm sure that if I was asked for a show of hands, probably most of you in here would probably say you have some kind of an insurance policy, perhaps. We prepare for a lot of different things because we know that death is coming if we live long enough. And that ought to be a principle to help us make right choices, because the choice I make today, I may not be here next week to follow up with the choice that I just made. You follow where I'm coming from? Another principle is in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 44, another principle to help us make right choices would be in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, and it says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh." This verse tells me that Christ may come back at any time. According to this scripture, he could come back in the next minute or two. He could come back in the next hour or two. He could come back maybe tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. No one here knows. No one. No one but God himself knows. Not even the angels in heaven know whenever Jesus is coming back. But he is coming back. And because Christ may come back at any time, it should help us now when we make choices in our life that not only involves ourselves, but others as well. Many times this church makes choices. It makes choices on the local body of Christ. What goes on right here? It's important that we make the right choices. So we see that life is brief. We see that life is uncertain. We acknowledge the fact that death is sure and that Christ may come back at any time. But let's look at the last principle in Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" You see, this principle tells me that there is no escape for procrastinators. There are a lot of people that have heard the gospel message over and over and over and over again. I know people that are way up in their years, should we say their golden years. The gospel message was not a new revelation to them. They heard it perhaps from the time they were a little boy in Sunday school. Perhaps they heard it all their life. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they needed to trust Christ as their Savior. This verse tells me there's no escape for those that try to put off salvation. And there are those that are one day going to stand before God and say, "But I did not know." No person will ever stand before God and give an excuse why they're not saved and say, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't hear. No one showed me. I never read it. I had no imagination in my mind anything about it." Because I believe that everybody has had the opportunities, even in their own conscience, to know the difference between right and wrong and what they should or should not be doing. In our boot camps, we show a video that is put out, and it's titled ETAL. It was put out by New Tribes Missions a number of years ago. The man that it actually stars in on that particular video is about a man who was a farmer. He was a Mennonite man from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. God called him and his wife to be missionaries in Papua New Guinea. He applied for several mission boards and they turned him down. But he was determined that he knew God's will for his life. And so his church said, "Well, if a mission board won't send you, we will." And that church sent this couple to the mission field. They were from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They went there, and for a number of years, keep in mind, we're talking about a group of people that it was an indigenous tribe out in the middle of nowhere that basically knew nothing. You could not go in and just start talking to them about God because they had no concept of who God was. There was no written language. They had a language that they spoke. But it took several years for this man to develop what he needed to do before he could even begin to take him to the book of Genesis and begin to take him through the Bible. And as a result of that, because that man knew that he was called of God, not of man, he went there. An entire tribal group of people come to know Christ as their Savior. Yes, it took a while for them to do that. But he was determined that by God's grace and God's help, that he would do what God wanted him to do. These people came to know Christ as their Savior. And even today, that same group of people have had an outreach into other villages in Papua New Guinea where others have heard the gospel and have come to saving knowledge of Christ. My question this morning is, we know that life is brief. That's not a new revelation. We know that life is very uncertain because we don't know what tomorrow may hold forth. We know that death is coming for all of us and the fact that Christ will come back at any time. My friends, I believe it's closer than we could ever imagine. I was saved August 17, 1965 as a result of an evangelist and a missionary evangelist. But I come out of the rock of an old-timey evangelist by the name of Dr. Oliver B. Green. My mother got saved at his tent revival meeting in 1961. 1965, the best I knew how, as a 12-year-old young man, I get on my knees and I ask Jesus to save me. That's been over 50 years ago. I'm so thankful for that. Because I'll tell you something. There's a lot of my family that's dead and gone long before I came on the scene. And I guarantee I know where they're at. And they don't have that blessed hope that it speaks about in Titus. And might I say that each and every one of us have an opportunity to be what we need to be for Christ in the choices that we make. Every choice, no matter whatever it is. And so this morning, my question to all of us would be this, as Pastor comes and he's going to close, is what kind of choices are you making in your life? What kind of choices are we making? Are they good ones or are they bad ones? We evaluate what we do, don't we? Every day, we take our own yardstick, we put it out, and we measure up exactly what we've done. And we know where we've been. So are you making choices today in your life that are positive? Are we making choices in our life that is spiritual? Might I say, I don't ever want to go back in any time in my life and try to relive it because I know if I did, I'd probably just mess it up again. But might I say, while I'm down here, I want to do the best I can. I want to live my life that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I have the opportunity, and God, I feel, has given me a major responsibility to take, to train, and to bring young people alongside and to get young people involved in serving God. And you know something? If they don't go into full-time Christian service, that never bothers me. What bothers me is when young people cease to be a full-time Christian for God. Because God wants to use you. And if he'll let him use you when you're young, he'll have you the rest of his life. And God can use you in a tremendous way. I always say God can use a little or God can use a lot. But one thing God cannot use is what you're not willing to give to him. Are you willing to give everything you have to the Lord, whatever that would be, and say, God, this is my life. You take my life. My life, Lord, is yours to control. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to be able to be here. We thank you, Lord, for each individual that is here this morning. Lord, you know each and every one of our hearts. Lord, you tell us that we are beautifully, wonderfully made. And God, you know each and every one of us. There's no surprises that's going within our own lives that you do not know about. Lord, I just ask you this morning that perhaps maybe there's some here this morning that if they were honest with you, they would have to say that they don't always ask you what would be your will in their life. Sometimes maybe they don't always check with you about the choices that they make. Lord God, if nothing else, this message ought to stir our hearts, each and every one of us here this morning. The Lord, to be on our knees and to seek your face in whatever that is. And Father God, I just pray that if there's one here that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you tell us that you came not into the world to condemn the world, but that through you, the world might be saved. Father, we just pray that you will, Father, just touch each one of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be drawn closer, to be more like you. And Lord, the person that perhaps is here has never trusted you as their Savior, that, Lord God, that they will put their faith and trust in you this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
If you'd stand, please. Think of a shoe salesman in Chicago who decided to serve the Lord. You've heard of D.L. Moody. You may not have heard of William Carey. He was a shoe cobbler. He built shoes, made shoes in England. And we know him today as the father of the modern missions movement. And he surrendered and let the Lord use him. Even a Moses, who the Bible says esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so life's choices, as Brother Landis mentioned, we make them every day. And those 4 points were very good. If you have questions, if you'd like to pray, please see me, see Brother Landis, see Pastor Pitchford, somebody before you leave. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your Spirit uses your word, uses your servants, and that you can use farmers from Lancaster, you can use sons of Pharaoh. Father, that you are the one who works through us. We're the clay, and we pray that we be willing in your hands, submissive. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is from Hebrews chapter 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.